Those who work with computers know the importance of operating systems. An operating system makes the computer work. It doesn't matter how big the hardware is or how expensive the hardware is, it can't do anything without the operating system. Too many of us are trying to live holy lives without understanding that we're under a new operating system. A lot of us have not realized that we're still functioning under the old hardware. But when Christ came into your life, he's given us a new operating system. And you will never be able to live a life that's holy and pleasing to the Lord until you understand the operating system that Christ has given you when you called upon the name of the Lord. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he forgave you of your sins. But when Jesus conquered the death and the burial and the grave, that was for us to live a life that is pleasing to him. But in order for us to know the new operating system, we need to look in the manual, because the manual talks about how to function under this new operating system. The Bible is the manual. And in order for us to continue to grow in holiness, the more words you know, the more that you'll grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he's talking to these new believers, and he's letting them know they're under a new operating system. He's telling them to stop focusing on their past and understand there's a new way of living that pleases the Lord. The first three chapters of Ephesians talks about identity. And then the last three chapters talks about behavior, which brings me to this point. You can't live right if you don't believe right. You can't live right if you don't believe right. If there's an area in your life that's not functioning the way that Christ wants you to function, you need not just to focus on the behavior, you need to focus on your thinking. Because as a person thinketh, so he is. And so the Apostle Paul, he spends three chapters talking about their identity. I am holy. You are blessed. You are forgiven. And then he transitions to behavior. See, holiness is not behavior modification. Holiness is heart transformation. In other words, we're trying to get to the place where we're not striving to be holy in a sense where we wake up in the morning and say, oh my God, this is so rough. No, it is the overflow of your life, because that's your identity in him. You can't live right if you don't believe right. So I want you to think about the area in your life today that perhaps you keep falling in. That area in your life that perhaps you're in bondage. It's probably because there's something that you're not thinking appropriately on. See, God told the children of Israel that he had a promised land for them. And you remember in the Old Testament, Moses says, I want you to go scout the land, because God has already given us the land. But when they went to scout the land, they said, oh my goodness, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Notice the giants in the land, or the people in the land, never called them grasshoppers. They said, we look like grasshoppers in their lives. That's what I call grasshopper thinking. Grasshopper thinking is oftentimes we see people and we're like, they judging us. It's because that's how you perceive your own self. You can't live right if you don't believe right. See, if you don't believe that you should be in a relationship that is holy or pleasing to the Lord, see, oftentimes, this is what I know, you'll put up with what you believe about yourself. You'll put up what you believe about yourself, but when you start to understand it, you start to think differently, it will change your behavior. See, physically you are what you eat, but spiritually you are what you think. So I'm gonna say it again, I wrote it down. Physically you are what you eat, but spiritually you are what you think. So what have you been thinking about? See, if you think negativity, your life will be in negativity. As a man thinketh, so he is. And let me just say this. If you keep thinking that this country is going to hell, then you can join it if it does. But I come to preach today. I don't care who's in office. I'm going to live a blessed life. I'm following Jesus. I'm not following a man in an office. And the problem is some of you are you're shook at who's in office because you think that person is your savior. I got to get back to my notes. I said. So he spends three chapters saying this is your identity. He says you're chosen, you're holy, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're a child of God. And then he transitions when we get to chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore. Now, when you read therefore, what do you need to do? Figure out what it's there for. Therefore, now you know your identity in Christ. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. See, Paul, he understood his identity. He's writing this letter as he's a prisoner in Rome, but he said he's a prisoner of the Lord. He didn't allow his situation to say that I'm a prisoner in Rome. He says, I'm going to take that. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And he says, watch this. I urge you. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. I'm earnestly asking that you would walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. Urge you to walk worthy of the calling you've received. He's saying, now that you know your identity, this is what you need to do. I urge you to walk towards the calling that you received. How many people know you didn't call yourself? God called you. And before you try to understand your calling of service, you need to understand first it's a calling of salvation. See, I see so many people focused on what their calling is. The first calling you need to master is the calling to be a disciple of Jesus. He says, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. So walk out your identity. Walk out what Christ has placed in your heart. And then now Paul, he transitions and he's about to tell these believers that there's a way that they can walk in this new life. So today I want to make it very plain for you that there's two steps. I believe if you understand these two steps that you can live a new life in Christ. Here's the first step. Take off your old self. Take off your old self. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says that, this, but that is not how you came to know Christ. See, read it when you get home, but Ephesians chapter 4 all the way through 19 talks about how Gentiles are people who don't know God act. They're people who are led by their flesh. He says, but now that you're holy and pleasing to the Lord, you know better. He says, but that's not how you came to know Christ. Assuming you heard about him and you were taught by him and the truth is in Jesus, I need you to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. Paul says this. He says, I'm assuming that you know him. I'm assuming that you know the truth. I'm assuming that you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, this is what you need to do. You need to take off the former way of living that is corrupted by deceitful desires. That word take off is apotithemi. I know it sounds Greek, right? Apotithemi. Now, I'm not trying to be deep, but just say it. Apotithemi. Come on, say it one more time. Apotithemi. Okay, I want you, while you pouring coffee on your job, just start saying apotithemi. You're going to sound, ooh, your church deep. Apotithemi. That word apotithemi is take off. And this is so important. This is what it means. So when the Apostle Paul is saying take off, he says this, no longer do what you're accustomed to doing. That's what it means. Don't do what you're so often accustomed to doing. Well, I was just born this way, apotithemy. Well, this is what my mama told me, my dad told me, apathy for me. Well, that's just how I am, apathy for me. You don't know my story, apathy for me. He's saying, take it off. I know you're accustomed to doing it, but if you're really following Jesus, I don't care what the custom is. You have to now operate under a new operating system. You need to take off what are called deceitful desires. Apathy for me. He says to take it off. And I know some of us that you're accustomed to living a certain way. Here's the reality. Some of us, we lived one way 40 years and came to Christ. And he's saying, this is what you need to do. I don't care what you have done the 40 years. You need to take that off. That's why Paul says, I count all those accolades, achievements, rubbish. It means nothing to me anymore. He says, take it off. Apathy for me. It also means this, to lay something down and to push it far away. To lay something down and to push it far away. Now here's the issues with a lot of us in this room, including me. Have you ever got to a place where you said, I'm no longer going to do this anymore? And for a season, like, you were living good. You weren't doing it anymore. But then 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, you went back to the same relationship that was toxic. Can I tell you why? Because you laid it down, but you didn't push it far away. You laid it down, but you liked the way it looked, so you didn't push it far away. And what happens is motivation will only take you so far. See, this is what I know on the fast. Everybody was excited on the fast the first 7 days, man. This is easy, man. This is great. You got to that second week. We had 100 people online, and it dropped down to 40. I already knew that was going to happen. Why? Because the first week, you're motivated. Right? In January, I couldn't even find a treadmill. Now, if you go to Planet Fitness on Middle Belt, treadmill number 17, that's mine. But I rolled up in there. I felt like I was hooping. I had to say, who's next? I got next on the treadmill. But now if you go, what's happened? Or this week? The fall off's going to happen. Why? Because motivation will only take you so far. But to be a disciple, you have to be what? Disciplined. Which means now, take off means this, to put it down and to push it far away. To the point where you no longer see it again, to the point you no longer desire it again. And what Paul is saying, now you know your identity in Christ, you need to lay those things down, push it away, and never go back to it. Can I ask you a question? Even on this fast, maybe on this fast, you're hearing from the Lord, and you gave up something for 21 days. But I know what some of us are going to do. We're actually going to go back to the same thing he's trying to deliver you from because you think it's about 21 days. There's some things you should never go back to. If you're hearing from the Lord and your life is getting better, don't say, I got one more week to get back into sin. I can't wait. Lay it down, push it far away where you no longer have that desire anymore. So what Paul is saying, I need you to take off your old self, apathy for me. I need you to cease from doing what you're accustomed to doing. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says this, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. I want you to think about this. Our old self. See, Christ is not trying to give you a makeover. It's not an addition. It's not an add-on. Anybody ever watch Extreme Makeover? See, Extreme Makeover is the same house. They just add on different features. See, some of us, when we came to Christ, we think Jesus has given us a makeover. Jesus did not give you a makeover. You were crucified with him. The old is gone, the new has come. He took your life and he burned it to the ground and then gave you a new crib, a new life. This is why you shouldn't condemn yourself, and this is why he doesn't condemn you. Why? Because the old is gone and the new has come. But oftentimes, we still focus on the old man instead of the new man because we live with the old man. But the old man has been crucified. Now, I need you in about a week and a half to come to First Wednesdays, because First Wednesdays is a service we're having once a month, the first Wednesday of every month. I'm going to break this thing down, but I want you to know you've been crucified. Now, I know some of us, you've been taught this. Don't email me that you got to die daily. It says you've been crucified. When Paul says die daily, he was speaking of physically dying daily. That's the problem. You wake up every single morning and got to start the process over again. When you understand, when you wake up, the old man is already died. That's no longer me. I don't think that way. I don't live that way. I don't have an appetite anymore. Appetite for me, I pushed it away. And I'm living this new abundant life. So I can tell how y'all looking. So you know the old man. You know the old woman. But have you got acquainted with the new person? That's why when you come to Christ, it don't feel right. It don't feel right. But oftentimes we're still led by the flesh and not the spirit. It's like, man, I don't like worship music, but your spirit does. I don't want to lift my hands, but your spirit does. Because you're so used to being operating by the flesh. This is what this fast is about. I know your flesh wants something, but sometimes you got to talk to your flesh. We eat when I want to eat. Oh, man. Amen. The old self was crucified so that the body, I'm just reading the word. Can I just read the word today? Just read it. You can believe it if you want to. So that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free from sin. I got an announcement to make to every believer in this room. You are already free. The question is, are you living free? I'm not trying to get free. I'm already free. I was crucified in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for me. He died as me. And now I'm in Christ. We're supposed to live like this. It's rendered powerless. Sin should not have power over any believer. Here's the issue. See, when you are trapped in sin, Jesus, he went into the prison door of your life and he opened the prison door. But you had a choice to walk out and be free. But some of us, we're still in bondage. The prison door is already open. But we're choosing to do what's comfortable to us. I said this before. You remember Charles Dutton on the show The Rock? He was in prison before he became an actor. And a reporter once asked him, said, when you went to prison, you never went back. How come you never went back? When most people go to prison, they end up going back. He said, because I never decorated my cell. Because I knew this was not going to be my home. Can I suggest some of us, we've been decorating our lives based on our past instead of moving forward. If Jesus forgave you, forgive yourself and start being the new person that God has called you to be. You got to take off your old self. You are free as Christ has set us free, so we're free indeed. You might not feel like you're free, but the reality is you are free. You're just not living it out. Why? Because of your thinking. Woo! Because you think you're not free. That's why you continue to act as if you're not free. Is this helping somebody? Yes. We have a choice today. I can live in the freedom that Christ has given me, the new identity. I can put things down and walk away from it and allow Christ to work on me. And this is what I discovered. A lot of us want to control what God does in our lives. We want to control the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? I'm never going to do this. You never going to do it. But what if Christ wants to do it? Now, I don't know. I can never do. See how we talk? Just listen to your words. Because oftentimes our words show that sometimes we want to be in bondage. The children of Israel, they were slaves for 400 years. They're walking into freedom. And then they say, man, I'd rather go back, because they were used to being a slave. In the New Testament, we see the brother who's paralyzed for 38 years. Why did Jesus ask him this question? Do you even want to be free? Can I ask you a question? Do you want to be free? See, freedom is more difficult than slavery. Because freedom means you got to walk by faith. Slavery means you know exactly what you're going to do because you're a slave to it and you don't have a choice. Take off your old self. We have died to sin's penalty, but sin's power can still reign in our lives if we allow it to reign in our lives. Say, take off your old self. We got to learn to take off our old self. Well, the question becomes is this: why do believers still sin? Why do you and I still sin if the old self is gone? That's a good question. Well, why do we still sin if it's powerless, if we're walking in freedom? It's because we still live in the flesh. These sinful desires, these drives and these passions that we have, instead of being under the new operating system that Christ has for us. Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians and Colossians, they mirror each other. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, therefore, put to death. Notice the language. Put to death. Don't play with it. Put it to death. What belongs to your earthly nature? Sexual immorality. All right. It's getting quiet in this church. Come next week. I'm just giving you a heads up. That's what I'm talking about next week. I'm just letting you know. That's what I'm talking about next week. I ain't coming to church because you're a slave. The word will find you out. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. He says, you gotta put to death these things. The sexual immorality, the lust, the greed, all those, you gotta put it to death. He's saying, stop playing around with it. You gotta kill it. And that's it. We can't just keep going around the same mountain over and over and over again. When are we gonna get to the place where you and I walk in freedom and walk forward and never go back to the very thing that held us captive? And if that doesn't happen, it's because we haven't put it to death. He says, put it to death. Some relationships need to be put to death. Some ideologies need to be put to death. Some friendships need to be put to death. See, the old man is unsaved, unregenerate. The new man is saved and regenerate. Now, this is going to be the difficult part right here. Just take a deep breath. Because from verse 5 to 6, he says, put to death all these things. And in a room like this, I know some of us, we haven't put those things to death. But the Apostle Paul, this is what he's saying when he gets to verse 7. Hold up, verse 7. He says this. He's presupposing that believers have already put those things to death. He's presupposing it's already happened. Where are you getting that from? The next verse, it says this. He says, and you once walked, past tense, you once walked in these things when you were living in them. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. The language he's using in Ephesians and Colossians is this idea that you've already have done it, and the fruit of your salvation is that you continue not to live in it because it's been put to death. Can I ask you a question? Are you living in it right now? Are you living in sin right now? Are you living in anything on that list right now? I'm not here to scare you, but I am here to prepare you today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says he gives a list of all these things. Those will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm just saying it's too many people in the church that's playing around thinking grace is a ticket for you to do what you want to do. Grace trains you to say no to ungodliness. Grace gives you the power to put things down and push it away and never go back to it. He says this. He says, you once walked in these things when you were living in them. And maybe there's a few people that remember when you were living in them. You remember you were living this way. You didn't have a care on your mind. You weren't even thinking that way. Now, here's the reality. We all sin. We all fall short. We're not talking about perfection. But there's a difference between living in sin and visiting sin. See, break it down. All right. Living in sin, I've made my house there. I set everything up. I'm just living in it. Visiting might be, man, but I know. Have you ever been in a situation where you sin and you just said, I'm better than that? I can't believe I fell for that. Listen, don't condemn yourself, but we got to get to the place where we push it away. See, I know there's some people that put themselves in bad situations because they wanted to see how strong they were. You know anybody like that? Come on, you. I mean, I'm going to keep it real at this church. You just laid up with you and your girl. We ain't going to do nothing, though. Want to see how strong we are. Let's touch and agree. And you end up touching and agreeing. Ain't never spoken tongues, but that night you did. Somebody over there is, I ain't even looking. They going to Marvin Gardens right after church. Oh. You lost the deposit on Airbnb. Just take it. He says, now, but put away, athapatimi, put away, push it away. Don't go back to what you're accustomed to doing. He says, all the following, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. You once walked in them. Not that you're okay from this day forward. If you're there, you're there. But he's presupposing a believer who the Holy Spirit has resided in his heart, who's been transformed by the Holy Spirit. You once lived that way. Now the fruit that you have been saved is that you continually live that way because now you're free. Yes. See, holiness is not this list I got. Okay, I got to stop doing this. Pastor Ken done told me the list. Okay, so today I'm not going to have anger. So today I'm not going to have wrath. So today I'm not going to let filthy language come out of my mouth. And you so uptight. Instead of understanding you're free and you have new desire, I don't desire that. I don't desire it anymore. Yes, it's going to slip out. Yes, I'm going to make mistakes. I understand that. But the grace of God is going to pull me back to righteousness. That's what I'm talking about. I don't live there anymore. And when I do those things, I don't even feel right about it anymore. See, a change of nature demands a change of behavior. A change of nature demands a change of behavior. See, when you came to Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. You don't have two natures inside of you wrestling. You don't have two pit bulls. Who's going to win today? No. The new has come. The challenge is we live so long under the new or the old regime, the old operating system, we don't know how the new operating system works. And some of us know this, right? When you switch from Android to it was confusing. I know when I switched, it was like, man, the cursor, I'm like, I'm moving it down, it's going up. And here's the crazy thing, because now I've been with a MacBook Pro for about 5 years or so. This just happened today. I went to children's church to get on the iPad or to get on a computer. I couldn't even function. I'm like the window on the right side. I'm clicking. Don't even know what I'm doing. I'm like, what's going on? I'm talking to my wife the other day. I'm like, where's Safari? Where's Chrome? It's this new thing, Microsoft. What is it, Edge? Or is it, what is it? I'm praying for y'all. Y'all got to get free. Okay. I'm like, Microsoft. I didn't know. You want to know why? Because when I converted to Apple, I pushed Android away, far away from me. I didn't even know how to operate anymore on it. I was confused. See, when you first get saved, it is awkward being a Christian. But then when you're living under Christ and you know it's better, it becomes awkward sinning. See, for some of us, it's awkward being a Christian. So number one, we have to get to the place, am I a Christian? Do I have the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forbearance. Do I have those things? Because we got to be clear here in a message like this. It's not doing a list of things. I'm trying to say you're a new person. And now we get in front of the Lord. This should be your prayer every single day. God, give me new desires. Give me new passions. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Not selfish desires, but desires that come from him. Now I'm not praying selfish prayers. I'm praying God prayer. God, what do you want me to do? Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, I want you to do this, 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 this. Have you ever got, God, what do you want from me? Because I've been living selfishly for so long. I just want to do your will and your word. But a change of nature demands a change of behavior. You are a new creation, but you got to put off the old self. See, you got to get to the place where even if you went back, it wouldn't even fit you anymore. It don't even fit you anymore. You know what I'm saying? You don't know nothing about this. It's Talese jacket. At Winnie the Pooh, you don't know. Anybody remember the Lifetime photos, Life Touch photos? Y'all remember them photos? Right? We thought we was looking cool. See, I'm a new creation in Christ. The old wardrobe doesn't fit me anymore. It's awkward. It doesn't fit me right. See how you're laughing at me? Your friends in church who follow Jesus should laugh at you. Should look at you the same way you're looking at me. Like, what are you doing? Hey, Ed, what are you doing? I don't fit you no more, bro. That's what you do? You get angry all the time? That's what you do? That filthy, that's what you do? That's what we do? That don't fit you anymore. See, this doesn't fit me anymore. But you got to understand, it's going to take a minute to get it off because it's tight. Yeah. See, when you become a new creation, God has given you clothes. He's clothed you with righteousness. Now, you can say what you want, but when I went in to get this tailored, the tailor knew the exact, way that he should appropriate these clothes. Like, I'm like, you know, you might want to do this. He was like, listen, this is what I do. When you get saved, God has got a custom tailor-made plan for your life. It fits me, but it might not fit you. That's why I can't compare myself to somebody else, because the tailor put it together for me, not for them. He's got a call that is just for you. Why would you want to go back to the very thing that doesn't fit you anymore? Let the tailor do his job. But we want to continue to go back, drop off the new man, and pick that up. It's what I call Al Bundy syndrome. Anybody watch that show? Al Bundy, every quarter, what did he have to do? He had to put on that old varsity jacket. Brother, you work at Sibley's now. That's all he could talk about was what he's done in the past. That's why I'm very leery of even people who share their testimony. There's some people who share their testimony. You're smiling too much about your sin in the past. You're spending 10 seconds talking about what Christ has done, but 5 minutes talking about the life you used to live. Yeah, I remember back in the day, bro, man. Woo! And then I got saved. Amen. He says to take off your former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desire, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I told you it's about your mind. Be renewed in your mind. Write this down. Right thinking leads to right living. Right thinking leads to right living. I gotta start thinking right. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says what? Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then I'll know the perfect will of God. I'm not just reading the word to read the word. I'm being transformed by the word. I'm getting in the word so that word gets into me. You don't read the Bible reads you. And when you get to a place that you're not doing it, that's when you stop and pray and say, Lord, conform me into this image. Right thinking leads to right living. Here's the second step. If you want to live the new life that Christ has for you, you got to put on your new self. Take off your old self. Put on your new self. Take off your old self. Put on your new self. Here's the formula. Take off, be renewed, put on. Take off, be renewed, put on. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of the truth. So you are a new person. But what the writer is saying, now that you're a new person, the fruit of you being a new person is to continually put on the new person. You are holy, but now live holy. You are chosen, but live as if you're chosen. You are forgiven. The new self says this, now I forgive people. I can't forgive them because you're living under the old self. You keep on saying what you can't do, and you are absolutely right. You can't do it, but Christ can. Stop limiting what God can do in your life. You got to take it off and then put on the new self. The one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. And so when you got saved, he's given you new clothes. He's given you a new wardrobe. And the question becomes is this. Are you going to allow Christ, who's giving you new clothes. I know it may take a minute to get used to it. Or are you going to go back to the clothes that he ripped off and go back to it? See, when the Bible says you've been crucified, this is literally what it means. You've been crucified spiritually. But when we keep going back, it's like we grab the shovel, go back to the grave and dig up the old man and put it back on. See, I love that song when they talked about this whole idea of dancing on the grave. It's dancing on the grave of the person they used to be. It's not grabbing the shovel, digging a hole to put back the old man. That's what we think we can do. We think we can have it both ways in Christianity. The new you is better than the old you. You just don't know that because you keep focusing on the old you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says this. Let's shut it down. It says, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." I've clothed myself with Christ. What brand are you wearing? Christ. How much that outfit cost? It cost him his life. I couldn't afford it. But he clothed me with his righteousness. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did they try to do? They tried to put fig leaves on themselves. That's religion. That's behavior modification. God comes on the scene, and what does he do? He puts garments of skin on them. He clothed them with his righteousness. And then lastly, Colossians 3:12 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves." What do you need to do this week? Here it is right here. Clothe yourself. Instead of focusing on your former life. See, I don't want you to get to the place where you're focused. Oh, God, sexual immorality, greed, and all those things. And yeah, I understand that. Stop doing those things. Push those things away, but pick up these things. Because clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Your Facebook feed should be compassionate, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The people on your job should know you as a person of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Your kids should know you as a person of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Your wife or husband should know you as a person who's compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And you don't get extra credit for doing it. This is what holy people do, because this is who we are. And all of us have a choice today. You can walk out of here and put on your old clothes and still carry anger, hate, and all those things. Or you can realize that he's already given me a new wardrobe. I just didn't know it. And so today I choose by the Holy Spirit to be compassionate, to be kind, to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient. We don't want to live like Lazarus did. You remember Lazarus? Lazarus, Jesus said, "Look, hey, Lazarus, come forward." Then Lazarus started to come forward, but what happened? He had on his grave clothes. And some of us, you've been resurrected, but you keep wearing your grave clothes. But Christ is saying today, take the old grave clothes off and start walking in freedom.